Bless you. Father, we just thank you for who you are. And we praise your name and thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for this place and I pray it a rich, rich blessing, Lord. Especially on Pastor and the vision that you put on him, Lord. I thank you for these people, that they would be armor bearers and support. But Lord, that they would seek you with all their hearts. Because, Lord, that's what revival is all about. Revival is a hard, hard work, but it's about loving people and connecting and moving forward in the things of God and teaching and preaching the kingdom of God and seeing people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and then going deep. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We give you all the praise and glory. Father, I humble myself this morning and pray that each and everything that I say will be to your glory and to your honor. And thank you again for this opportunity. Amen. Well, glory to God. It is good to be back. I was here 6 months ago probably, and I was sharing on my testimony based on going to hell and back. I brought them books. They sound very loud. I brought them books. To hell and back. They're at the back. I also brought another book today. I was asked to share testimony, so I will. And it's called From Darkness to Light. I've been saved 39 years, but in that time, 12 years of it was fighting sickness and disease. I had two cancers. I had hepatitis C, fourth stage, which meant that my cells and my liver could not regenerate it, and I needed a miraculous healing. And that's the one that I want to share on today, but I also want to talk to you a little bit about the two cancers. But first of all, before I get started, I love to say this. In the 50s, I used to live over here in the village, and it was quite different than what it is now. I don't even know if this section of road was in, and if it was, it was probably a one-laner. But now you come up here, it's just like massive cars and action and energy all over the place, and it's a little different. But in them days, it was amazing as well. My phone number was 377W, and I had one long ring and one short ring, and I was just a little guy. And it was long distance to call Toronto from here, if you can believe it. And it was a party line. There was four people on it, and you know the story. One older lady was on it, and we could never use the phone because she was always on it. I hope she's in heaven. In any case, I was born in 51. I'm going to give you a little introduction here. In 51, born into a great family. But in 1965, I rebelled, went out into the streets, and started doing all kinds of drugs and all the rest of it, from heroin and speed and cocaine and morphine and codeine and LSD and THC and mescaline and speed. I think you get the idea. And so on and so forth. I used to mainline the drug, and for 10 years, that's what I did, from 1965 to 1975. But in there, in 1971, and I shared this, I did overdose on drugs and I did visit hell. Fortunately, I came back. Otherwise, I'd still be there and serving my sentence of eternity in hell. I will say this, though. After that, it was 1971. It took 3.5 years before I actually give my heart to Christ, as if being in hell did not scare me enough or turn me enough to Jesus Christ. Anyways, that's the way that we kind of live, isn't it? We put things right behind us thinking, hey, we're going to go to the next one. We're going to make it. We're going to do it. We're going to be all right. I'm telling you, we're coming to a course. We're on a course. We're going to hit a wall. And then it'll be over. But anyways, after being in hell and dead for 10 minutes, part of my healing testimony today is that when I came to Christ almost 4 years later, in 75, I had extensive brain damage for being dead 10 minutes. Now, here's how I got healed in them days. I did not know anything about healing. I was freshly born again. Thank God that I met and went to a church where David McFarland was one of the assistant pastors. But my pastor was David Sturry, and he began teaching us, and he believed in healing, so he taught on that. And so we grasped it, and I took it. And I went home, and for 5 months, I just read the New Testament. The Bible says in John chapter 8, that if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciple indeed, as disciplined follower, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I didn't have people lay hands on me or anything like that, although it was a time, at that particular time, that this was a church where a young man by the name of Benny Hinn was going as well. And he could lay his hands on groups, and I would see things, all kinds of people fall and all the rest of it. And we were at a restaurant one day, and he was looking at me wondering how come I'm so weird after coming in off the street after 10 years. And I'm looking at him thinking that he's weird because he's this little guy. He's 1 year younger than me. And he come to Christ. He come to Christ in 67. This was in mid-70s. But he had just spent a year or so in his room praying and believing God and trusting God and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all I know that he was such a little guy that he was scared and he used to hide under the bed. Well, today that's changed if you know him. Whether you love him or hate him, he has laid a lot of people at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank God for him. And so anyways, there was another guy that was there too. His name was John Arnott. It seemed like this pastor had attracted all of these people who were going to go out into the world and have ministries. So it seemed kind of strange again. But John was there with his new wife, Carol, in them days. But in any case, God called him out to a town up near Kitchener. I can't even remember the name of the town. Stratford. And God trained him in pastoring, and then he brought him back and then had church. And then that's where we see what we call the Airport Christian Center, the Airport Fellowship. Anyways, so after all of that, I was healed of that brain damage. The brain damage that I had was like this. Inside, I could think of things, and I could be able to communicate slow. But if I was talking to somebody, I would not engage in the conversation, knowing that I could not get my thought from here to here before the conversation moved on. But I'm telling you, within 5 months, just reading the Word of God, my brain started to connect. The Word started to do something in my brain. Nobody was laying hands on me. It was the Word of God. The Word says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will change our mind, and we need renewed minds. We need the mind of Christ in us. So getting on to the healing part, I actually took this book, and I want to read out of it before I get to the one that I would really like to hone in on, which is the hepatitis C, because that's the one I think that was the hardest one to overcome, but I did in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was pastoring in the year 2000, and I began to fall. I'm starting with my first cancer here. I was pastoring in the year 2000, and I began to become very weak and sickly and started losing weight, and I used to brown out, if you know what I mean. Like, I wouldn't black out and fall, but I would kind of brown it, and I'd have to grab something because of the weakness. And because I was not sick or anything like that, I had no trouble in terms of being weak or anything like that. I didn't put much attention to it until it progressed. And I said, gee, I need to see the doctor. So I went to see the doctor, and over the next course of at least the next year, they were giving me tests and so on and so on. And finally, they did exploratory surgery in the first month of 2003. In 2003, I had exploratory surgery done in Quebec. When they did it, they really messed things up, just to put it honestly. And they did not get the cancer or anything like that. And here's what I've got in the book. And by the way, my daughter wrote this book. I have my son and daughter-in-law here and my three grandkids. They have been in the printing business and they printed it for me. But it was my daughter that wrote this book. She called me one night and says, Dad, you need to look at this book. And I'm thinking, well, what particular book are you talking about? She says, well, I printed your life, and I need you to test and look at some of the dates and see if it's right in that. Well, I did, and I can see now there's a few little things I missed. But in any case, that's okay. The story is here. This here picture I tried to recreate of me when I was born again in 1975. I was on 87 Woodbine Avenue, and I was sitting downstairs in a dark, damp, dingy basement. There was one light, and I had my face in my hands. And my brother had come by at that very moment when I was crying out to God. It wasn't the day before. It wasn't 2 days later. It was at that very moment. He came down the stairs and he says, you need Jesus Christ. I says, I know. I'm ready. He had been praying for me for a few years. So don't give up, family. That person that said you're still praying for mom and dad, don't give up. And don't let the devil trick you. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the harvest field. If you can't get a hold of them, pray that God would send somebody to them that can. There are people that can talk to your mom and dad, sisters and brothers and so on. Any case, cancer number one. By the end of 2002, my dad had noticed, remember my daughter's writing this, that he was feeling drained and run down all the time, and I was. He also had developed a lump on the side of his neck, and I have pictures of that. No need to show you, but they're there. And it wouldn't go away. Around Christmas time, he went and got it checked out, and January 2003 was scheduled for surgery, which I did have. They were not sure at first if it was cancerous, so even though during the surgery they would be taking out the lump, they were also doing exploratory surgery. The operation went well, to a degree, but now we had to wait for the findings. This waiting period is one of the hardest parts of going through cancer. Now I'm telling you, because we're in warfare, Jesus is very clear about it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, and so on and so forth. We have to cast down imaginations as every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are in a warfare. We have to realize that we are going to know someone, befriend someone, or work with someone, or we might be faced with something like this in our life. But know it's coming. But know this, that God, in His love, has sent Jesus Christ. And He has provided a way of healing for us. The day arrived when my dad received a call from the doctor informing him that he needed to go in for his results. When I got there, the doctor pulled up the chair in front of me, got really close and told my dad that he needed to get his house in order. He didn't have long to live. My dad says at that moment his mind started racing a million miles a minute, and it did. I don't remember what the doctor said. Every dark thought and possibility was there. All your loved ones, everything that you wanted to do runs through your mind. You're thinking, oh, brother, I'm going to be in the casket. My wife and my kids, they're young and all the rest of it. I didn't finish what I wanted to do, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking all of these things at that particular time. I didn't hear what he was saying. In other words, my mind was running a million miles a minute. When you get the sentence of death, this is what happens. But we need to be prepared to die. And as Christians, we need to know that the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, somewhere around verse 8 and 9, it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we slip out of this body, we're going to be present with the Lord if we are born again Christians. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's just the fact. That's the fact, and that's the truth. At this point, my dad just needed to get out of there, so he left and drove straight to the church, and I did. I locked myself in the church. He knew that if he was going to beat this thing, that he had to hear what God was saying. God sometimes says, hey, take the operation. Sometimes he says, man, you can go through this by faith. Other times he may mention this or do that. But you have to hear what God is saying on it. But the bottom line is that God wants you healed. So what was coming to my mind in that doctor's office was what Job wrote. I believe it's Job verse 25, verse 19. or vice versa. But he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. The word redeem means to be bought back, pulled out, and set free. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He bought us back. He pulled us out from the darkness, from the domain of the enemy, and he set us free to be everything the Word of God says that we can be. There are many scriptures and many truths about healing, and that's what we can have. So I know my Redeemer liveth. This went on for some time, but then he left the church, and his mind was renewed to God's Word for that particular period of time. But there was still a fight, still a struggle. This would begin an 8-month battle with his mind and emotions to finally believe God's word and to say that by his stripes you were healed. You see, you can say, by his stripes I am healed. But you can maybe only believe it up in here. That's where most people are, to be honest. And so you have to allow the word that's here to drop down to here. You have to also renew your mind to what the word of God is saying. If the word of God is not true, then let's throw it out. Let's do something else. But the word of God is the truth. The facts were that the doctor said that I had a problem to get my house in order. The truth of the matter is, though Jesus says that 2,000 years ago I took care of this problem, so why don't you deal with it? I was a pastor for a long time. I was actually active in the pulpit. I taught on faith. I taught on healing. But now I got the report. And now I have to do something about it. It's one thing to know that someone else has got it and they're going through it. It's another thing when they say, okay, now it's your turn. And believe me, I'm not putting anything on you. That's for sure. But I know that every one of us in here, at some time, if we don't know somebody, we will know somebody who has a cancer or heart disease or whatever. By the way, in Canada, as far as I know, stats of late, that almost 30% of the people die of cancer, which is 10% more than heart problems, which is 20%. In any case, I know my Redeemer liveth. When I was at church, I realized what I had to do. I had to take this word and allow it to become part of me. And so I took some scriptures to confess. I took scriptures based on healing, and this is very important. Some of the scriptures that I took to go over and over and over again. See, the Bible says renew your mind. It says you have the mind of Christ. It says let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. Renewing our mind with the Word will cause us to line up with what the Word of God says. We have to cut out distractions. We have to become so focused that we know that there's nothing out there that can help us. The doctor said, get your house in order. There's nowhere else to go. Some of the scriptures that I used, for example, was Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. The Bible says he gives us 70 and 10 plus 10. So that's 70 to 80 years. I knew that he said that. So at 50 years old, I was not going to go anywhere, in my mind. But I had to get the truth of it, and not just hear. We can read this intellectually, but honestly, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just another book, unless we let it get down here into our heart. Another scripture that I took was Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. I'm thinking, wow. Well, there was enough power to raise him from the dead, so there's got to be enough power to get me out of this cancer situation. And so in these 8 to 10 or 12 months, whatever it was, the first cancer, I had opportunity to spend time in my room, in my office, for 10 hours a day, sometimes 7 days a week. There was times that I come out, and with cancer, there was days I felt good, but there was days that I could hardly get out of bed. Why it works like that, I don't know. In any case, that'd be about 2,500 or 2,600 hours that year that I was praying in the Spirit. For me, praying in the Spirit, I was allowing the mind of Christ to be prayed through me. The Holy Spirit was praying for me and in me and through me. He was dropping down the mysteries, the Bible says. He who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. The mysteries are a hidden truth that's been in God, but now it's being made manifest to us, his born-again kids. They're hidden truths, and part of the hidden truth is that, hey, Jesus already dealt with this 2,000 years ago. Another scripture, and then I'll move on, but it was this one. It was Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my saying, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Why? For they are life to all them that find it, and medicine or prescription to your flesh. I'm thinking, okay, the doctor gives you medicine. You get the flu or something. He says, okay, for 10 days, I want you to take 3 penicillins every day. The doctor here knows enough, he'll give you a prescription. Well, the Word of God gives us prescriptions as well. And that's what I did. Finally, on that healing, I remember I was in my office praying for all these hours. Now, I know people can't pray for all these hours. But God will take what you give Him. And whatever you can give Him, He'll bless and He'll multiply. Believe me. For me, He was showing me things. For me, He was raising me up to be able to stand here and tell you that healing is from the Lord. Healing is for today. And I don't want to get all theologically on you. I'm just saying, according to the Word of God and my understanding. But I was healed of cancer. It was about April of that year, 2003, 3-4 months after the operation. I'm in my room and I suddenly feel, by the way, we move by the anointing of God, but we also move by the peace of God. The anointing comes and it lifts, but the peace of God will always remain with you. And so I developed and learned to live by that. And this day I felt such an enormous peace. And someone from a city south there, Tulsa, USA, a minister friend of mine, who was with the Kenneth Hagin Group, loved them or hate them, they believe that healing is from God. He called me. I'm in my room and I'm talking to him. And he started to pray. And as he was praying, it was like time was perfect. He was praying, I was joining with him. If any two of you shall agree as touching anything here on earth, it'll be done for us by our Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 18, I believe it's verse 19. But as he was praying, my mind lined up with my spirit and I believed. And I took that healing and it was like liquid, warm gold or whatever, melted gold, like whatever, honey flowing down through my body, and I knew that I was healed. I didn't come out of the room because I knew that now I had to get strong to keep the healing because we're in a warfare. Because today I want to be able to lay my hands on people and believe with them and see them healed. My wife and I have done extensive traveling in the last year, a year and a half. And one of the places that we did go was northern Quebec. I mean, way up near the Atlantic. And a lady came in to one of our meetings, and generally it's bilingual. I speak English, the interpreter speaks French. But this, and that's what was going on. After my message, this, by the way, this lady walked in from nowhere. She had seen one of these little books somewhere around the town. They're small towns that I go to. She could speak English. She seen the book and she read it. She knew that I'd be at this little church. She walked in and she sat in the front row. Her name was Linda. Now, I didn't know all this, and nobody in the church knew her. She had never been to church before. She walked in and she sat there, and as I was finished preaching, she said, I have a cancer, and I want you to pray for me. Yeah, I love that because I hate cancer. I've learned to hate it. And I've learned to cross a line in terms of that kind of stuff. The devil can't put me back over there because it's too late. I believe in healing. So anyways, I prayed for her concerning the cancer. The cancer left. And I'll tell you in a minute how I know. Secondly, I understood that she had never accepted Jesus Christ. I said, wow, this is a good deal. So I prayed for her. She came to Christ. I guess so, after realizing that she had been healed of cancer, she had realized that Jesus Christ is real. And thirdly, she did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I prayed and she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The moral of this story is, though, that I hate cancer. And I know that she was healed because within the next week or so, I was still in the area. I was going to a lot of churches, Don and I. And there she was at one particular reception party of a wedding. And she was doing a lot of the work, running around, zipping and everything like that. She was feeling so good that she was able to take on work. She was instantly healed. Thank God for that. That's how I know. There's many times we pray for people. I prayed for someone on the street last Wednesday. She had a new hip. I didn't see her later, so I can't say to you, hey, she's walking perfect. But I prayed for her. But with this particular one and this cancer, it left. I'm going to skip the second cancer. I'm going to go right into the hepatitis C. If you want to read more about it, you can get it in here. Because the hepatitis C one was probably the hardest of all these healings. The first cancer, I'll say this, I discovered that I had a lot of fear. My mind was racing. The second cancer, I didn't have that so much, but I had a lot of weakness. I spent at that time another year and a half in my room doing extended periods of time praying. Now, I still pray in the Spirit consistently, and when I can grab a day or two or string together some time, I do extended periods of time. I've added along with that private worship, because when you worship God, He inhabits the praises of His people. I've added with that fasting. I've added with that confessing of the Word. And I've added with that meditation and assimilation of the Word. We can't, as Christians, be pulling verses out of context. We have to start where the thought is and then where it ends. And that's what we need to focus on. In any case, hepatitis C, it was the fourth stage. Because of all the drugs and operations and all the rest of it, I had a serious blood disorder. And I was beginning to feel weak again. And this is after two cancers. And I'm feeling pretty strong until the time came where I just started going downhill fast with this hepatitis C. Back to the doctor, many tests, a number of specialists, and then them telling me that if I do not do something about it, I will not be here too long. In the 12 years, I was told 5 times to get my house in order that I'm not going to make it. While I'm here, I'm strong. I ended up at the end of all this, well, I'll save that, telling the devil what to do, but I'll tell you in a minute what it was. So I had this blood disorder. It was hepatitis C. It was fourth stage. My liver was not regenerating. Another death sentence. So the first cancer was fear. The second was weakness, but this was confusion. So the doctor said, I want to put you on a 48-week plan, which is about 10 or 11 months, I think. But 6 months into this thing, man, I was so sick and so weak. Because what I was doing was a drug called ribavirin, Vectrelis. And I was actually also doing a chemotherapy. And to make things worse, I was giving myself injections with chemotherapy. And I thought towards the end of that, I said, what am I doing? I know that God heals. Now, if the doctor's got you on something, don't quit. That's not what I'm saying here. But for me, I seriously took this to the Lord because I began to be so sick that they had to take me out of the house in an ambulance 6 months into this thing. I couldn't eat. I couldn't hold down water. I was hallucinating. I could look at the wall and see full four-color programs, which weren't there at all, but that's how I was hallucinating. This stuff was supposed to help, but all it was poison. It was filling up in my body, dehydrated, hallucinated, lots of weight loss, started wrecking my teeth, cavities, so on. My platelets were so low that I had to have an immediate blood transfusion. My red and white blood cells were so low, and I don't know what numbers they were low. Organs were shutting down. Poison leaking from my liver into my stomach as well as the rest of my body. And they pumped out many liters. I believe the enemy wanted to take me out because I believe the sickness is from the enemy. But I was getting it. I was slow, but I was getting it. But now it's at the end of about 12 years. I was hospitalized twice, the first time in an ambulance. I was there for a week or so. I come home. A couple of days later, I had to go right back. When I went back, the second time in the hospital, the doctor who was in charge of this program, after all the poison was in my body and after all the tests, he came into my hospital room. He was alone. It was about 11 o'clock at night. I was alone. There was no entourage of nurses or doctors, and I had no friends or family with me. We were alone. He walked in. He was kind of dragging his head like this. And I thought, oh, okay. But I was looking at him because I was awake. And he stood 6 or 8 feet from me. And he said, "Mr. O'Brien, I'm very mad at myself." And I said, "Well, why?" He says, "Because what I've been giving you has been killing you." He did not expect me to make it through the night. When he said that, something inside rose up. This is after a 12-year period, and I'm full of poison. I'm laying on a bed. When he left, I said, "That's it." I said, "Mr. Devil, you've had your way with me for 12 years. And I said, from here on, I will never be sick like that again. Never." This is a year and a half ago. Now, I didn't jump out of bed that night, but the night after, a doctor came in and said, "All your vitals have returned to normal. You may go home." So I went home the next morning. Now, I did have to grow and get stronger, but there was a faith that came up in me that I said, "That's it, Mr. Devil." It was like I met him somehow. Not face to face, but I just seen his dirty work. And after 12 years, I know, hey, man, I'm the one with the victory here. I'm the one that's been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're the defeated foe. What's the problem here? I've been sick long enough. My family has gone through this long enough. That's it. I have a lab report here. Because right after that, I left the hospital and I didn't see anybody for a year. The doctor phoned me and says, "Okay, well, you need to start taking some medication." And this was for me. I'm not saying it's for you, because maybe it's unwise and maybe it wouldn't be for you. But I stopped taking everything that I was taking. He says, "Well, I want you to take something else so that your immune doesn't drop and you don't catch something." But I knew that I was healed because faith rose up into me, that hospital bed, so much that there was nothing that I felt could hit the body and live. I'm a blood-washed, born-again, spirit-filled, on my way to heaven, mountain moving Christian. I'm thinking that's it. And my mountain is the enemy and he's going down because I'm not. He's tried, he's failed. Just like he's failed every other time if you stand in faith. How many here have really had to stand in faith against some things and watch the enemy go down? Amen. Amen. What a feeling. What a victory. And we all have that opportunity. Anyway, a year later, I thought, well, I better go see my doctor, my GP. Period. No more specialists. When I went to see the doctor, he took some tests. And the tests that he took come back better than average. And I'm not just talking about liver. I'm talking about kidney, heart. I'm talking about everything, all the organs, everything. I have reports here that say that when we started this with hepatitis C, that hepatitis C was detected, and then it gives numbers. I have it right here. The day that I get out of the hospital and took the test, it shows that hepatitis C was not detected. I was healed. And the doctor said to me after the first blood test, he says, well, maybe they made a mistake. I said, well, look, doc, I've been telling you all along that I've been healed. And on that night, I mean, he's not a Christian or anything. He's nominal. So he said, well, let's run some more tests. So we did. With a couple weeks later, the second set of tests come back, and it was above normal, average. I mean, not just sort of hitting the scale with being okay, you're okay. I mean, it was above average normal. And he looks at me because I'm sitting in his office, and I'm waiting. I wanted to laugh. But he gives this great big smile, and he says, well, you are totally healed. I said, thank you. But I knew that from the night that I was in the hospital. Listen, God is in the healing business. God wants to touch you. He loves you. He wants us well. If he wanted us sick, he would have put sickness on Adam and Eve. That's right. But they did die spiritually, so we were born in that fallen nature. And so there's sickness around. But when Christ came, he defeated the devil, and he got us back to the place where we're in him. So much so that when the sickness hits, it can't stay. Well, I tried that confession stuff, someone might say. It doesn't work for me. Listen, it's not about saying it once or twice. It may work for you, but you have to over and over and over. When you go to school, grade, senior kindergarten or one, wherever they teach it now, they teach you the ABCs. Do they just say it once and that's it? No. Then you go over it and over it and over it. But you learn it and you never forget it. And I would like to relate that to the Word of God concerning healing. I am the God that healeth thee. Jesus never turned anyone away. And now I could start to preach. I'm not going to. But I just wanted to share my testimony. But whether it's brain damage, whether it is cancer, I've never had heart trouble, I thank God. I've never had breathing trouble or lung trouble or anything like that, thank God. But even if it's that, I have faith to combat the sickness because sickness is not of God. So thank you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I have a little plan for you. It'll only take you a few minutes. If you feel or sense a sickness on you, take some time. Pick out an hour next Saturday, because you're busy all week, real busy. Next Saturday, though, say, hey, you know what, Lord, I want to have lunch with you, just like you would with a friend or a colleague. Take an hour. Shut off the phones. Go to somewhere where you can get with God. And I would suggest you do this anyway. It's not only because of sickness, it's for direction, for relationship, for your part in revival. Revival is hard work, and you have to know the Lord. And revival is not just about gifts. We've had gifts revival. We need personal relationship revival. And that's hard. Because we can love God, but when it comes to each other, we may have a little problem there. But we need to learn to love people. A friend of mine said that, gee, when he's having revival, Lord, I love you and I worship you. He says, it's your people I can't stand. He was joking. But we have to learn to love each other. Love is patient. Love is kind. Even faith works by love. It's not the erotica love. It's not the storge love. It's not the philios love. It's the agape love with no strings attached. And that's hard. Because it's easy to love your brother if you're getting something in return. It's easy to love your family because you can kind of say, okay, they're still my family, and I'm a family person. And I let nothing come between that family. But when you come to agape love, God wants to move in that area. You can be healed. You can be touched. You can have them relationships restored. Now I'm here and I'm talking. I'm just saying this. This is work. I know there's revivals going on right now. I'm invited to speak at a revival in Kitchener sometime in August. They want me to do two meetings. And I know there's a lot of giftings going on, a lot of healings. And thank God for them. We need that. I had a miraculous healing in that hospital room. You see, healing can take time. It's a process. A miracle is basically instantly. So when I say I had a miraculous healing, I was healed instantly, is what I'm saying. I had to grow in strength and so on. But the faith that rose up in me, there was no one, not even that doctor telling me that I'm not going to live through the night, could tell me or come against what I knew based on who Jesus Christ is in my life. And right now, I live to preach the gospel and to tell people the good news. With that, I'll close. Sorry I didn't have time to get into the second cancer. That was amazing cancer. Amazing healing, not cancer. Because I had to take radiation. With the radiation, I had to go to Sunnybrook 20 times. And I had to put on a mask. A mask that they formed to my face. And then they buckled me to a bed. They buckled the mask down and put something under my neck. And I said, what if I have to sneeze because I'm in a room, a leaded room, lead this thick, alone with lights off and machines turning and them radiating me. They said, well, even if you sneeze, we have to start over. And when you're there, you can't move and no one's around. You need to know the peace of God. But there is peace of God. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, or God's peace, will guard your hearts and minds. But we have to learn that. And as Christians, we have that. We have to step out and take it. Amen? Can I pray? I want to pray. I'd like to minister right now. Switch gears. And I'd ask that you would close your eyes for a moment. What I've told you is true to the best of my ability, and it's my testimony. I'm not trying to be theological, but I cannot share this without sharing the love of God and His Word. All eyes closed, except the pastor, of course. Is there anybody here that does not know this Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? I would like you to slip up your hand. I don't know you, but as an evangelist walking in that office at the moment, this is my heart to see people born again. Is there anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ? Or is there anyone here that is not sure? Just slip up your hand. I won't embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. Because I don't know if anybody's visiting this morning or anything like that. Anybody at all? I see that hand. I would think that you may not be sure. Anybody else? On May 19th, 1975, my brother walked into that little room. It's on the front of my book there. He said, "You need Jesus." I said, "Yes, I know." I was tired of doing it my own way. And all that stuff that happened, I never had a death wish. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. But now I'm born again 39 years. And I'm telling you something. Last Monday was my 39th anniversary or birthday. Anybody at all? Raise your hand. This is not for me. I care, but I don't care. This is for you. God loves you, and He wants to show you so many things way above any level that any man could show you. I used to think that when people said, "Well, boy, you Christians are crazy," or this or that, and they say, "Yeah, well, whatever." But the world would say that. Now I'm looking, "Hey, world, you did such a mess. You've dropped the ball so badly that you've got everybody busy. You've got everybody afraid and concerning financial, concerning living. Everybody's stretched to the max." And I'm thinking, "Is that what you did, world?" So Christians, we need to wake up. I may not be talking to you here, but I'm just saying we need to wake up and come alive, man. There is so much for us. One more time, is there anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? All right. I will pray for that person in a few minutes. Second question, is there anybody here that has pain in their body that would like it gone? Just raise your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Okay, I'm just going to say I see them hands. A number of hands went up. Now, I can have ministry up here, which I think I'd like to do if that's okay. So I'm going to invite you to come up here to the altar, if you will. And I'm going to pray for you, but a bit of instruction. When I lay my hand on you to pray, because it's very scriptural, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons, speak with new tongues. If they drink anything deadly, if they take up anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. And they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover, period. And God confirms His Word. He confirms His Word. He works with us, confirming the Word. So when I lay hands on you, I'm going to have my wife assist me. Oh, okay. We can come over to this side. That'd be better. So I'm going to lay my hands and touch. I'm not going to touch where the pain is. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to lay my hands on your forehead possibly and pray that this thing will leave. But you have to believe that it's going to happen. And then when the symptoms hit you harder tomorrow, you have to say, no, no, at such and such a time, Sunday, 12 o'clock, May 25th, I was healed. Because the symptoms are going to come back. Take and do some homework. Grab some scriptures that pertain to your sickness or disease or pain. Go over them over and over and over again.